My name is Emily, and you've been listening to Chicks Voices on KHEN LP 106.9. Thanks, Teresa and Andy, for your phone call. Up next, Truth Quest with Melody.
that was Poker Face, I'd Rather Die. And this is KHEN LPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, community-supported radio, streamed on the Internet at khen.org. You are listening to the program Truth Quest with Melody. And my co-host tonight is Katie O'Brien, and our special guest that we have on tonight is Anthony Hilder. He is a conspiracy documentary filmmaker. And are you Katie and Anthony, are you there?
I'm here.
We are here, there, and we are concerned, I think all of us listening to the show, with the attack that's been launched against the people of the United States of America, those who are serving in the military right in and around Colorado Springs, are not serving the people of the United States by following the command of the President of the United States if he's guilty of high treason.
May I say one thing here, just a second? The opinion and views expressed on this program are those of myself and my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. Okay, we can go back to this.
Well, you're going to have to say that, dear, because, you know, you take a look at Uncle Sam. You know, on the recruiting offices, it has a picture of Uncle Sam. And you notice his goat-like face. Well, I've discovered that Uncle Sam is the goat of Baphomet. The goat of Baphomet is the goat of Satan. It's the satanic symbol.
How did you discover that?
Well, I didn't. A preacher had come over to me and was doing a film, and he said, you know, I took the goat of Baphomet, done by Eliphas Levi, which is used in the Masonic religion. And that, by the way, in the Masonic religion, General Albert Pike, who was co-founder of the Ku Klux Klan, made the statement that Lucifer is God. And he talked about those in the Masonic religion, of the higher orders, he said, should follow the Luciferian doctrine. So there is absolutely no question that the evil archy that is controlling this country, at least with their involvement with the Masonic religion, are Luciferian-oriented.
Okay.
And you take a look at that goat of Baphomet, which is in their publications, and it's half woman, half man. And there's the goat with the horns flanging out. And if you overlay that, you take that and overlay it with Uncle Sam, every hair is the same. It's in the exact location. And the Uncle Sam, who looks sort of grisly anyhow, becomes satanic.
Okay, now
the cufflink on his shirt, which extends beyond the sleeve, is the nipple on the breast of the goat of Baphomet. It is one and the same. So when you see Uncle Sam pointing to you in the recruiting office, I want you to serve. It's I want you to serve Satan.
Okay, now that's a heck of a way to start out the program, but I'd kind of like to, before you get too heavy into all of this, I'd kind of like you to give a little bit of your background so that the audience here can kind of understand why you're doing what you're doing and the importance of your message.
Well, there, you take a look at those of us who speak out in this country. We've been exposing for at least 41 years, since I put out the Illuminati CFR records, not the enemy that is external, but the enemy that is internal. For years, there was a movement against communism or communism. And Senator McCarthy came out and talked about all of the communists in the government and the communists this. But he started to go behind the scenes. In the mystical, magical Emerald City, there was a discovery made behind the curtain.
And now you're
looking at
the
warlocks and the witches of Oz. There are operations that are going on behind the scenes that most of the people never know about, never hear about. But tonight we're going to talk about them. Because there is actually a satanic evilarchy, a group whose god is Lucifer, whose intention it is to rule the world and reduce the population by 80%. Those who serve in the United States military under their commander-in-chief, or commander-in-chief as some would call it, George W. Bush, they are engaged in an act of war against a nation that had no intentions of waging war against the United States.
Right, but
there was no weapons of mass destruction. There was no yellow cake. There was none of that. It was completely concocted. If you engage in war, and it is of a nature where you kill 650,000 people, innocent men, women, and children, and you lose the lives of over 4,000 Americans and have 25,000 that are crippled and many, many, many more who are inhaling depleted uranium and have children that look like thalidomide babies, then you are in a war that is not serving mankind or the United States of America, but serving Satan.
Okay, now when you were talking about reducing the population, what are you basing that on? I mean, because there really are documents out there that really do back up what you're saying.
Well, the Club of Rome talks about it.
Right.
And they want to reduce what they consider to be useless eaters.
Okay, but a lot of people don't know what the Club of Rome is.
Well, they're going to have to do some homework.
Right.
They're going to have to do some research. And we've got some videos out there. We've got the latest one is Skull and Bones, the Catholic Connection. And George W. Bush professes to be a Christian and a conservative. He's neither. One who is a Christian does not lay down nude in a coffin, masturbate, surrounded by 15 guys in black robes looking like Klansmen.
No, you're referring to the Skull and Bones.
I'm talking about the Skull and Bones, the Brotherhood of Death.
Right.
They're at Yale University in the tomb. That's what they do. Now, he did it. His father did it. And his father's name in Bonesman lore is Magog. In the Bible, it talks about the individual who wages war against God in the final days of Earth. And his father, Senator Prescott Bush, was a financier of Adolf Hitler through Brown Brothers Harriman.
Okay, now why do you think that's significant?
Well, it's significant in the fact that they are funding what the public thinks is two different sides. Nazism, supposedly on the right, which is National Socialism, is not on the right, it's on the left. In fact, Hitler said on February 5th, 1941, he said basically National Socialism and Marxism are the same. The whole of National Socialism is based on it. And on August 23rd, 1939, Hitler joined with Stalin through the Communist Peace Pact. They jointly invaded Poland, one from the east, one from the west. This and the Soviets were supported by individuals like Dr. Armin Hammer. And on Dr. Hammer's desk, he had pictures of Lenin, because he was actually in touch with Lenin. And then there was another individual, and his name is Ronald Wilson Reagan, Mr. 666 himself. Ronald Wilson Reagan was not a conservative. He was in the L.A. Committee for a Democratic Far Eastern Policy, twice cited by the California State Committee on Un-American Activities as an instrument of the Soviet Union.
And I'd heard something a little bit about that, but you're saying he was tied in with the invasion of Poland?
Armin Hammer. I mean, Dr. Armin Hammer supported the Soviet Union.
Okay, all right.
Also, friends of Dr. Armin Hammer, i.e., Ronald Wilson Reagan, his vice president, George Herbert Walker Bush, were supporters, or at least George, his father, Senator Prescott Bush, was a supporter of Hitler. They support both sides. But Nazism and communism are essentially the same. There's really little difference. Hitler burnt down the Reichstag, and in this country, the same organization took on the 9-1-1, took on the World Trade Center at 9-1-1. And people say, what?
And their document was the Project for a New American Century.
Oh, yes, Project for a New American Century, absolutely. And they laid it out, what they were going to do, and they've done it. And they will do it again. As we speak, we are seeing the demise of the United States of America as we once knew it. We will see the dollar go through the floor. The reason that they're bringing down the dollar and bringing the price of gas up is to create a situation wherein people cannot eat. And if they cannot eat, they will go for food, and they will go in the major cities, in the black and brown areas, the Latino areas here in Southern California. They will have to come into Beverly Hills, into the West Side, to Brentwood and Bel Air, Santa Monica and the Pacific Palisades, into Malibu and Beverly Hills. And when they do, the military will be called up against American people. American people will be incarcerated.
So you're saying that this this dollar devaluation and stuff is by design then?
Oh, it's deliberate. It's by design. It's demonic. As they reduce the price of the value of the dollar becomes worth less and less and less until it becomes worthless. So the point of doing this is to destroy the dollar, to introduce the Amero and bring in a North American Union, a NAWSI agreement. The EU is Hitler's dream come true. Hitler envisioned a united Europe in his book, the second one after Mein Kampf, is called The World Order. And they have done that in Europe today. And what the NAWSI agreement is, it is the exact blueprint. It is the duplicate of the European Union. It is Hitler's dream come true. As it was in Europe, so it shall be here in the United States, unless we incite a revelation. Certainly the guys who are in the military who happen to be listening to the show, and I hope that you tell your buddy or your girlfriend over there to turn into the show, listen to Cahen. And the girls are doing a job.
You know what you're stating, there are really documents out there that really do orchestrate and put this all in writing for people to look at. I mean, it's not like you're making this up.
Well, they can take a look at the schematic. It's in a book called None Dare Call It Conspiracy. It was written by Gary Allen. Gary was infuriated that I came out with the Illuminati CFR records in 1967. And he and John Steinbacher and Gary's secretary, Evelyn Davis, met at the in Gower Gulch. This is in Hollywood. They called it the Gower Gulch because a lot of Westerns were made in that particular area. And yet it was in the heart of Hollywood. And he said, I'm going to expose you, Hilder. I'm going to, expose the fact that this whole Illuminati thing is simply a fraud. And as he got into it, he discovered that it was true, and he wrote an article called The Establishment CFR. And then I called him up and said, look, you've discovered that this is true, and I would like to record your piece. So I got a friend of mine, an actor named John Carradine. He used to call me from, he says, Anthony, can you meet me in Malibu? I need a royalty check. He was the fellow in The Grapes of Wrath,
right,
who
right.
got killed.
Did he not also do a lot of horror films?
Oh, a lot of horror films, and John was a good old boy. He did a thing, another record for me called The Child Seducers. And that exposed the SECAS, which is the Sexual Information and Education thing of the United States. It's SIECUS. It's been 30 years. But what this overall plan is to eliminate the useless eaters, those who they consider to be worthless.
And the term useless eaters, that comes from, is that Kissinger that said that?
Well, Kissinger talked about that, and of course Kissinger is the number one behind-the-scenes advisor to George Herbert Walker Bush and George Walker Bush.
And also Nixon?
And, of course, Nixon. And, of course, the one famous thing that Kissinger had said that all you guys in the military should listen to and remember, he said the military men are dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns. That's what he said, the dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in the game of international chess.
Yeah, I've read that myself.
So if you are in the military and you are serving Uncle Sam, you are serving Satan. Just take a look at Henry Kissinger. My God, what a, you know, this is a monster. A living monster. And they are trying to make monsters out of men. When one goes over and fires depleted uranium ordnance at the so-called enemy, people you don't know, you've never seen, never heard about, and you're in their country, you're invading them for what reason? Certainly not because they're trying to invade here. Of the 19 so-called terrorists, 7 are still alive, and 1 was dead before the event. There wasn't 11 Arabs who took over those planes and flew them into the World Trade Center. If you fold the $20 bill, and you can get the information on that by simply getting our film, 911, The Greatest Lie Ever Sold, you've seen the $20 bill folded. And it'll make the North Tower, where the explosion was going off at the top, the South Tower, which is about a third of the way down. The 9 and the 11 makes 20. It says United on one side for United Airlines, American on the other side for American Airlines, and then you see the city of New York. And on the left side at the bottom, there's two letters. It's ST. ST is the abbreviation for Saint, like St. Petersburg, St. Paul, Minnesota. It's always ST. And then on the other side, you'll see an IN, sort of stuck there in the what is this, the symbol of New York City.
Now, I've seen that, but I've never noticed those initials before.
But, well, you see that, and it's ST is the abbreviation. It's Saint, right?
Right.
The other is N. Saint N. Satan. They're putting their symbology on the bill. They're blatant about it. And when Henry Kissinger says the military are dumb, stupid animals to be used, pawns, expendable, you don't go over to Iraq or into Iran, as they would like to have you do, and kill people to save the sovereignty of this country, because the sovereignty of this country has been depleted since the creation of the Enabling Act, which is also called the Homeland Security Act. And I say Enabling Act because when Hitler burnt down the Reichstag, he had his people burn down the parliament, the Congress of Germany. And then he says, well, my God, look at what these communists have done to us. We've got to have more power centralized in the government, and they passed the Enabling Act. The Enabling Act, like the Homeland Security Act, was written before the event and passed immediately, transferring power from the people to the president and the police, destroying the Constitution. It's like putting the Constitution through a shredder. And George Walker Bush said, when people were talking to him about, oh, this is in violation of the Constitution, he says, don't bother me with that. It's just another goddamned piece of paper. That is the commander-in-chief saying it's just another goddamn piece of paper, and his chief advisor is saying the military men are dumb, stupid animals. And Uncle Sam, if you do the overlay, it's Satan. You take a look and fold at that $20 bill and fold it. You'll see the ST, S on T on one side and the IN on the other side. And if you know anything about anything, you'll understand that you cannot melt steel with jet A fuel. Otherwise, the engines, which fly most of the jet craft today, is made out of titanium and steel. It does not melt with Jet A fuel.
Now, you did a show on that, I mean a movie on this, documentary.
It's called 911, The Greatest Lie Ever Sold.
Right, right. And you did an interview with Jack McLam in that, who's a highly decorated policeman from Arizona. And
now in Idaho.
Oh, yeah.
And Jack is, you know, a great guy, and a lot of the, he appeals to a lot of the former police officers and a lot of the former military men, and he's actually reaching many, many military men. I got a an email from a fella in the military last night from Korea who said that, you know, he's beginning to discover what this is all about. And about 4 days, 5 days ago, I was up in the north, Northern California, and I was going in to talk to a gentleman who had been in the killing fields of Cambodia, where Pol Pot had massacred about a third of the population of Cambodia. Anybody that had glasses, they would kill, because they figured they were educated or they could read. If you could read, you were killed. It was a wholesale slaughter. He out-Hitlered Hitler at the height of his hysteria. And, of course, we know that Hitler was financed by George Walker Bush's great, his grandfather, who was the CEO at Brown Brothers Harriman.
But who do you think is also behind that? I mean, isn't there a group of people or a number of people that were in support of financing that Nazi?
Well, sure. You know, wars, like bridges, are engineered.
Right.
They can't build a war machine without money. The communists got their start with $20 million in gold from Jacob Schiff.
Which happens
Jacob
to be...
Schiff, it was here in the United States. There was a fellow named Bronstein, a.k.a. Trotsky, who took about 300 individual Mensheviks from New York City, left the United States with the $20 million in gold from the Schiffs. Oh, by the way, I think the grandson of Schiff, maybe the great-grandson of Schiff, I don't know, I think is married a fellow's daughter.
Al Gore's.
Al Gore, yes, Al Gore, right. So, you know, you take a look at these people.
His daughter.
they're working together. And you see what the horror story that's transpiring. There isn't, there's, you talk about the global warming and all of this. We're not running on fossil fuel. We don't have to fight Iraq or Iran or any of them to get that fuel. The fuel is available everywhere. There's enough fuel to run this country for the next 150 years at three times the consumption just in the pool that's up off Gull Island, and off the North Slope. We can run on water. We can break the water down into hydrogen and use the hydrogen. And we've got a car that we're working on right now, which goes 458 miles per gallon.
Yeah, I was watching your film there where you were drinking the water out of a tailpipe. I'm not sure I would be wanting to do that.
Well, why not? We're out in the desert. I was drinking water out of the tailpipe of an internal combustion engine and
right.
Liking it. Good stuff. It's clean. When you use hydrogen, the hydrogen takes in the bad air, burns it, and puts out water and oxygen that's clean. So you can clean up the community and clean up the planet simply by using the most available fuel in the world, and that's water. This whole thing is a sham. It's a scam. It's a flim-flam fraud. It's a con job.
You've been making these films for, what did you say, close to 40 years now?
I've been making documentaries.
Right.
Like The Cross and the Sickle about the National Council of Churches. about CECAS, the Sexual Informational and Educational, you know, Council of the United States, about the Illuminati, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Council on Foreign Relations at 58 East 68th Street is sort of the mother load. These are the guys that decide that, you know, we want to go to war. Not we, the people. But if you're part of the followers, there are people who lead and there are people who follow. If you go in to join the military, you say, well, I will be a good job. What will you be fighting for? For the extension of control over the world by a handful of people who create this fiat funny money out of nothing and lend it back to us at face value plus interest.
And that's quite a story in itself.
Well, a lot of people are getting this message. You don't want to be investing, you don't want to put your money in paper. If you've got paper, get the hell out of paper and buy gold or silver and lead and food that you can eat. Because as this stuff goes down and down and down, then they'll say, well, you know, it's over. We've got to bring in the Amero. We've got to save this country like Europe was saved with the Euro. And the Euro and the Amero would basically be the same, but this would start at zero and go up. And they would say, well, this is something that we need, and they want to build a highway across the United States of America so that a country that is bringing in more drugs, heroin, cocaine,
and this
hashish, and everything you can imagine is coming across that border. There's an invasion of this country. You want to stop an invasion from of this country? Then go down to the Mexican border.
Well, I have heard that basically our Wall Street is backed by drugs. And if you took the drugs out of the equation, Wall Street would fall.
Well, you go back to the Roosevelt family. You go back to the British East India Company that was dealing in opium. Remember the opium wars that were going on in China?
Right. There's a history.
The Chinese didn't want the opium out there, but the British did. More financial activity in this country is conducted from the city within the city. You go to Trafalgar Square and take a look up at the London Exchange, and then you go up Threadneedle Street to the right to the Bank of England. The people there control what is happening here. We are taking a look at the abolition of the United States of America as we speak. It's not going to happen. You say, when is it going to happen, Hilder? Well, I'm telling you, it's already started. We are so close to the time when they lock down the gates. Oh, and that would be to the prisons built in this country with your money. It's like the 9-1-1 event, the first one. Well, the World Trade Center was hit once before. Ahmad Salem, a retired Egyptian Army officer, was hired by the FBI through an agent called John Antisef to infiltrate a group of terrorists who were allowed to come into this country, Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman. They got a visa from the United States State Department, and the Rahman group was accused of being the primary instigators of the assassination of Anwar Sadat. They were allowed to come in here. They were given green cards. And their group, once here, was infiltrated by the FBI. And the man that was doing the infiltration, Ahmad Salem, became suspicious when the FBI handler said, to him, he said, well, you know, can you get them to do anything? And he said, well, yeah. I said, they're willing to do the World Trade Center. I don't think he put it exactly like that, but they were willing to do the World Trade Center. He said, well, but they don't know how to make a bomb. He said, well, you make it. You make it for them. He says, do you want me to make it for them? He said, yeah. And around that time, he got suspicious that he was going to be set up. So he started recording the FBI handler like he was recording Sheikh Omar Abdul-Rahman. This was in 1993. When the trial came out after the explosion in the World Trade Center, they tried to blame this infiltrator that the FBI had hired. But he says, I've got the tapes. And he starts to play the tapes, which proved that the FBI used U.S. taxpayers' money. Your taxpayers, if you're a taxpayer and you put money into their trough, you paid for part of the bomb that went into the World Trade Center. And the former head of the FBI in Los Angeles, Dallas, and Memphis, a friend of mine, and I, we were sitting in front of a television camera. That was in 1995. And we were talking about the 1993 Oklahoma City attack, you know, with, what is his name, Lee Harvey McVeigh?
Right.
And, you know, we were saying, look, this, they're going to come back and they're going to do this thing again. They did. They failed the first time, but they'll be back again. So 6 years later, I get a call from Ted. He says, they've done it. I said, I know. I said, I'm working on it now. So I started working, getting clips of what was going on. And that's the time to get them, the first day when one of these events happened.
Was that Ted Gunderson?
Yes, Ted Gunderson.
Okay.
Former head of the FBI in Los Angeles, Dallas, and Memphis.
Yeah, because you go, you interview a lot of these people that are whistleblowing in person for your
well,
films.
Well, Ted's been a friend of mine for years.
Uh-huh.
I knew him when he was in the FBI prior to his becoming knowledgeable about all of this. He was a friend of my mother's. And I really didn't pay much attention to him at that time. Because, you know, he was involved with doing the government's job, but he really he's a nice guy, just didn't know what was going on. But then he found out, and we are finding out what is going on. We're taking a look at the infiltration, not only of our government, but the absolute total control of our government. I'm getting a weak signal here, and I'm going to have to transfer phones, and I hope the other phone has some juice to it. If not, I will just have to shift phones back and forth, or I can, you know, go on my cell phone.
Okay.
And I think you have that. Is that correct?
No, I don't.
Well, I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
It's a small place.
Okay.
And the bad guys know who I am. It's area code 310-895-4474.
Okay.
See, you reach a particular time in this fight, and you say, it's so far down the line, what are they going to do to me? I've already been shot. They want to make a martyr? I don't think so. That's not smart. They're not stupid. But yet they are stupid because they believe that, you know, they are the gods of Earth.
When were you shot?
Oh, I try to forget. Maybe 8 or 9 years ago.
Are you still there?
It comes with the territory, dear.
I understand. And thank you for taking that risk.
Well, the risk is in not taking the risk.
Yeah,
if you think, well, you can do nothing, just do nothing, and it's going to happen. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do a damn thing. Just say nothing. Just do nothing. Let it happen. Because it's happening. The dollar has gone down and down and down, and you'll see the gas go up and up and up. There's nothing stopping it except you. If we expose the fact that we're not using fossil fuel, but we're using abiotic fuel, and there's plenty of it, those fields replenish themselves. They keep, you know, pumping, they keep flowing new oil into the empty fields.
Yeah, they kind of found that after they depleted some of the fields, and then when they went back after years, they were finding that they were filling themselves.
So it's a sham, it's a scam, it's a flim-flam fraud, and the president is perpetuating this. Al Gore is perpetuating this crime. and we must bring this crime to a close. You might want to call me on my cell phone in a moment when this thing cuts out. I'm going to try to shift between all three phones.
Okay.
But I take a look at you guys out there in Colorado City, next to the Air Force facility.
Colorado Springs.
Or Colorado Springs, excuse me. Colorado Springs. And these poor guys don't have a clue.
No, they don't. They are totally clueless.
They don't have they don't have a clue. They don't know who's running this country. And they send them out on a mission to kill somebody. They don't know who they're killing. In Afghanistan, the war continues, but it's against the people. But I'll assure you one thing, the heroin, the growth of the opium poppy and heroin which results from it is expanding by 1,100%. The U.S. could end that. If I was president of the United States, we could end it within a matter of minutes. But they're not doing that. They want it to continue. And you talked about the trafficking of drugs, hard drugs, by those who are involved with Wall Street. Well, that's a reality. It has been a reality. It'll be a reality tomorrow. It's not going to stop. It will continue and continue and continue. I'm going to try this other phone. We'll see how this goes.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead
take on this one.
All right.
And then I'm going to punch the. I'm going to take this, and we shall continue.
Okay.
How long has the drug trafficking been influencing Wall Street?
How long has the what?
The drug trafficking been influencing Wall Street.
Well, there are people within Wall Street who are conducting the drug trafficking. The drugs is not to make money. They already own the money system. It's not to make money. It's to control people. they want to own people. They're not content to control the money system.
Okay, now, again... do you tie in any of your background here with, like, Agenda 21?
I'm going to go back to this phone. I hope I haven't lost you.
Okay. No, not yet.
Are you there?
Uh-huh.
Hello?
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 We got
yes,
you.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
The one phone went dead on me, and this one will most likely go dead on me as well, so you may have to try back on the third phone.
Okay, you wanted him to tie together the Agenda 21 and...
For, you know, global governance. Are you there, Anthony?
Yes, well,
okay.
The global government is, you know, there's a fellow named Alger Hiss who put together the Constitution for the United Nations. He was the first Secretary General of the United Nations Organizational Conference in 1945 in San Francisco. That's Alger Hiss, a communist spy. And the President of the United States and the military men pledge their allegiance to the world government when they fly and support the United Nations. It is a disaster. And then there is Rudolf Hess, who supported Adolf Hitler, and he said, Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Führer. One world, one race, one ruler. And there was no place for other people, different people. If you were different, you'd wind up in a prison camp. If you objected, you were to be shut up or shot down. This is all part of a global plan.
And that plan has been in effect for quite a while.
Oh, yes.
And you're saying that by the World War II, but it even goes back further than that.
Oh, much further than that. You know, you go back, you take a look at General Albert Pike, co-founder of the Ku Klux Klan. And that was certainly the nicest thing that he was in. You know, the Masonic religion divided blacks and into the Powell Lodges and whites into the Masonic religion. And the higher ranks follow the Luciferian doctrine. They follow Lucifer. And if you take a look at the satanic goat on the backside of the dollar bill, there it is.
But again, a lot of those people that are in those organizations wouldn't know that, and at least the ones in the in. I mean, nobody would, you know, that's a Christian or, and believing in that sort of thing would join it up front, would they?
Well, you know, people are conned. They take a look at the preachers that we have, you know, the Hagees, and say, well, maybe we should have a war against Iran. And I'm looking at a broadcast, and I'm horrified. Because the 911 was an inside job. It was done by agents of this government. I was sitting in next to this fellow in San Francisco, near San Francisco, in a donut shop. And here he is talking about the events that happened on the Friday before the Tuesday of the 911 event. And I'm thinking, my God, he's saying to me, he was in the Merchant Marines, he's saying to me that there was, his group was brought over to the Alameda Air Force, or Naval Station over there. It's been closed down, but they had a meeting. And it was mandatory that there was about 30 of them, he said, that they were in for this meeting, and they had given three classes, one in nuclear, one in biological warfare. And I'm thinking, you know, why would they be doing this on the Friday before the Tuesday of the World Trade Center attack? He says, well, he told me, he said, they told him that something big was going to be coming down in New York. And they specifically mentioned the World Trade Center, and they mentioned one other area in New York. And then Tuesday, the event occurred. This is foreknowledge. The commander-in-chief knew. Certainly, the overseers of the Merchant Marine knew. They were forced into a meeting to discuss this. This isn't an accident. This is by design.
Well,
this didn't happen by some Arabs, some guy, you know, who drives a camel and lives in a cave. And if you just take a look at the Pentagon, which is the interior of the pentagram, the way that building was designed by an individual who was involved with not Anton LaVey, but the other... Luciferian
of Crowley,
Aleister Crowley, and that was Whiteside Parsons, John Whiteside Parsons. And here's the fellow. So he designs this, the interior of the satanic pentagram. That's the military. The guys that are in it don't know any difference. Like, what is it Kissinger says? He calls them dumb, stupid animals. Obviously, a 757 with a wingspan of 155 feet, a tail section 44 and a half feet high, cannot disappear into a 14-foot hole. You know, there's a word for this. It's called stupid.
Well,
if you believe that, you know, how can you be in the military and learn something? If you learn physics, it defies physics.
Well, wouldn't you say that this is a psychological operation, and being so, by traumatizing people, it somehow disconnects their ability to sometimes think clearly? Is that not what they're
saying? No, it shouldn't stop them from thinking at all.
Right, it shouldn't.
In the military, you're asked to go out and serve, and you don't know what you're fighting for. It sure as hell isn't the United States of America.
Well, one of the things they pledge to do is defend our Constitution, and I would guess that a large percentage of them have never read it.
Well, they're destroying the Constitution. They're not defending it. They're destroying it. They're taking it apart. They're shredding it. And it's like Bush said, don't bother me with that. It's just another goddamn piece of paper. And there's a comedian who always goes out and says, you can't fix stupid.
It's true.
Now the guys think, well, they're going to get, you know, they're going to get a cot and three meals. How inferior must an individual feel that he can't make it unless he goes out and joins the military? Because the military is going to be their mama and their daddy, and they're going to put them to bed every night. And they're going to do what they're told. This is slavery with a direction. If you're in the military, you've got a chance to get out, get out. If you're thinking about getting in, don't.
You're not the first.
If you know somebody in there, inform them of what's going down. Otherwise, you're going to be an atrocity.
You know, I was listening to you on one of your interviews you had on a program, and I'm not sure if that was Michael Herzog's, but you had gotten in a little bit into your past that was related to being there when Robert Kennedy was shot.
Yes, I was there that night at the Ambassador Hotel. Let me give you you've got the other number. It's 310-895-4474. You might want to try that right now.
895-4474.
And I will hang up and you girls can talk for a minute, and I'm going to put this phone because it will go out.
Okay.
And I'll be hearing from you in a couple minutes.
Okay, then.
All right.
Go ahead and I'll play a song here while we go ahead and reconnect here. If I can remember how to do this right. There we go.
My friends from high school married their high school boyfriends, moved into houses in the same zip code where their parents live.
You there, Katie?
But
yeah. Okay, cool.
I could never follow. No, I couldn't follow.
I may end up having to have you disconnect you both while I try to do this, but I'll see if I can.
Okay.
I may have to disconnect you. Try both here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. And Katie?
I can hear you. Just talk loud.
Oh, I know what I did wrong here. Just a second.
And while I'm talking here, there's two other phones that are being charged.
Okay. Well, just a second. I've got to do one other thing. I'll take you offline.
But unfortunately, the U.S. dollar is not like a cell phone. You can't plug it in to charge it up.
Okay. Well, just a second. I'm going to have to disconnect you on one thing here. Just a second.
When the calls of conversations, accidents and accusations, messages and misperceptions paralyze my mind. Buses, cars, and airplanes leaving, burning fumes of gasoline, and everyone is running, and I come to find a refuge in the easy silence that you make for me. It's okay when there's nothing more to say to me, and the peaceful quiet you create for me, and the way you keep the world at bay for me, the way you keep the world at bay.
Okay, I'm back. We're back again, finally. Okay, we're back.
Okay. Now we're back.
All right.
Now we're back.
Okay, and I'm just a second before we get started. This is KHEN LPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida. It's community-supported radio, and it's streamed on the Internet at khen.org. And if you'd like to listen to tonight's program or any past programs, they are now available at www.givemesometruth.info on the audio archive page, along with upcoming guests located on our homepage of TruthQuest. And the archives are also linked from the khen.org website. And our special guest tonight is Anthony Hilder, and my co-host is Katie O'Brien. And the views expressed on this program are those of myself and other guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. Okay.
You know, when you say Katie O'Brien, I know Kathy O'Brien.
Oh yeah, I've read her book.
And you know, in her book, well, I talked to her personally with Mark over in Las Vegas, and I was talking about Hitlery, and she said that in her experience as essentially a call girl for the Central Intelligence Agency, or the agencies of the government, unwilling, just brain dead or brain controlled. One of her assignments was to do Hillary, and she was with Hillary, and sexually engaged with her in an event in a room. And Bill came in with somebody else and was drunk, and she thought, well, they're going to have, you know, a foursome. But it wasn't like that. Bill went into the other room with the man and did their thing. I asked her about Hitlery. And, of course, the mags out there on the street, I'm talking about the scandal sheets. They're talking about Hitlery's, relationships with various women. And it doesn't, I'm a libertarian, I don't care. I mean, if she wants to do that, that's fine, but most people go to the polls, or at least who have voted for her, don't know that particular side of her. They think of her as the wife of Bill, but they've had pretty much an open marriage, and a friend of mine is the half-brother of Bill, and we've had discussions, and I think he introduced Jennifer Flowers to Bill. And Jennifer Flowers, in her book, was talking about to Bill about, you know, Hillary being very, very, being the possibility of her being very upset if she went into the governor's mansion. And Bill told, and it's in the book, quote, In the book about that Jennifer Flowers wrote.
Oh, Jennifer Flowers. Okay.
And she was Bill's girlfriend, and she was invited to go into the presidential, I mean, to the governor's mansion, and she said, "No, you know, there's no problem with Hillary." And he says, "Why?" He says, "Well," and I have to use the word, but you can cut it out. she's gone down on more pussy than I ever was.
You better not.
And that's that happens to be a fact according to the various magazines. And you go over here to West Hollywood, and you talk to the individuals in the gay bars, and they have an event that happens every year, and it's huge. It's a phenomenal party. It's probably about 200,000 that show up. And you find out from the West Hollywood is like a gay section of Los Angeles. It's like the Castro district in San Francisco. It's gay.
I think I'd seen that video that you did an interview with a lady that was familiar with Karl Rove.
Oh, Miss Piggy. We're talking about Miss Piggy, Karl Rove.
Yeah. Right. So, and what you're really pointing out is that you know, a lot of these people are not what they appear to be. I mean, you get stuff even said about Obama, and all
well,
of them.
Well, apparently Obama is on the down low and was in the back seat with some guy doing a little oral or anal, and that was in 1999, and he was doing some crack at the same time.
I mean, there's these kind of stories out there all over the place, and there seems to be people to back these things up. But I guess what you're trying to say is that, you know, we really need to do a little more digging into the past of some of the people that are running the world. And I get the feeling at times that they some of this that takes place is kind of a way of holding them in control by those that handle the leaders. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. You take George Bush. He was a cheerleader at Yale. You know, before he joined, he was tapped to become a member of the Skull and Bones and lay down there nude in the coffin. And he has a friend that was the former mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. And in that little piece of film, I discussed, you know, his relationships with some of his more, well, bi guy friends. And, you know, the stories about George Bush down in Texas when he was a kid and the other kids, they got it off by putting firecrackers and frogs and then throwing them up and seeing them blow up and explode.
Well, you know,
that sort of thing infuriated me. When I was up in the mountains and I saw kids at a very rich boys' camp, it was a military camp, they would take stones and they would crush horny toads. They were just sitting on the rocks. And get their jollies from that. That sort of cruel sickness torturing animals. That, you know, I've heard these stories about George Bush really sets me off.
You know, when you talk about Skull and Bone, I mean the disconnect there of what is the Skull and Bones a symbol for? Are you there?
Yes, it's the Brotherhood of Death.
Well, but it's also the pirates.
Sure, it's pirates. I mean, they steal. I mean, that's their emblem. And if you go into the tomb, there's one room, according to the girl who wrote the book on the subject. There is one room dedicated basically to Nazi lore. They've got, you know, the swastika and skulls and various Nazi paraphernalia.
You know, you were going to get into the Robert Kennedy.
I had predicted the assassination of JFK about 6 months in advance, and it was predicated not because I was looking into a crystal ball or I have some sort of special powers. I don't. It was just that I saw the rise of Barry Goldwater coming up in 1964, and it was. He was becoming a very huge power, and he wasn't part of that Rockefeller Republican group. And I figured they can't allow that to happen. And 6 months later or so, John F. Kennedy was killed. I knew it was coming. And then later on, I had predicted the assassination of Martin Luther King, because he was becoming no longer, he was no longer an asset, but he was a liability. So I knew that they had to take him out. I said, I was down in Montgomery, Alabama, talking to George Wallace's staff and saying that, you know, you've got to isolate him from these crowds. He said, oh, no, we've got it under control. Well, they didn't. And Wallace was shot. Unfortunately, he didn't die. Then I was talking about the assassination of Robert Francis Kennedy with my then dentist about 5 days before. I said, they're going to hit him because they can't allow him to go to get become the president or nominated for the president, because what he'll do is open up the investigation of his brother. So I figured, I was at the Ambassador Hotel, which is off Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, on the street which is close to downtown. It's called New Hampshire, and there's a row of bushes out there across this huge lawn, and I thought that they might hit him from there. And our guys were in the ambassador that night. We were putting out stickers that said, keep the faith, Kennedy Powell 68. It wasn't for Kennedy, it was against him. But the intention was to draw attention to the fact that Adam Clayton Powell was being indicted. He was living in Bimini, and I thought that with all of the buildings and cities going up in flames across America, that would be tied in or associated with Bobby Kennedy. And I was standing in the auditorium, outside the auditorium in the lobby, right next to a couple of Kennedy assistants, and they took a look at the stickers. Oh, my God. Oh. And those of color were running around with the and promoting this ticket, the Kennedy Powell. And then Powell was being indicted. That would be the end of the political end of Bobby Kennedy. But I wanted to see him taken out politically, not physically. And I thought if we did nothing and we simply allowed him to be killed, which he was, they would then try to confiscate, put legislation or legislation in to eliminate the Second Amendment of the Constitution, the plank of our Constitution, not the manifesto. The Communist Manifesto, as the second plank of theirs, is the income tax. But you see, when an individual is starting to be effective and they fear that he could be elected, that puts their position in jeopardy. So they had to take him out. And I am a hypnotist, and when one woman came out and she says, he's been shot, and I thought to myself, oh my God, these guys are, you know, people are all running around. And I told my guys, I said, get the hell out of here, they're going to try to blame it on us. And I was successful in getting them to get out, and about that time, Sirhan was brought out from the kitchen and was probably no more than 8 or 9 feet from me, and definitely, in my opinion, as a hypnotist, he was under. In fact, Roosevelt Greer tried to break the gun out of his hand. Roosevelt Greer probably weighed 360, 380, and Sirhan weighed about 145. And he had difficulty, a great amount of difficulty doing it. So a friend of mine, John Steinbacher, and I worked on a book called The Man, The Mysticism, and The Murder. And I had a friend who was a reporter at the time, Walter Winchell. In fact, he was the most famous reporter in the world at that time. He called me, and he decided to come out here. We had put out a newspaper headline, this is the Anaheim Bulletin, front page banner cap headlines in red, which tied in Sirhan to the Students for a Democratic Society, SDS.
Why do you think they did that?
What?
Why do you think they did that? I mean, am I make?
Why do I think that they
uh-huh.
being?
I mean, they tied it to the Students for a Democratic Society, or
well, we did.
Okay.
We did, because as soon as I got home that night, I got a call from Major Jose Duarte, a friend who had been one of the majors with Fidel Castro, and when he discovered that Castro was a communist and he went against Castro, he was put on trial, sentenced to death, and held in moral prison. he was in the prisoner exchange. He got back here to the United States. But Jose called me and said that he says, Anthony, have you seen the news? And I said, I was there. He says, you know, this Sirhan guy, I had a confrontation with him. And I said, what? He said, I had a confrontation with him. Our guys were there. You know, this is people from the Cuban Revolutionary Youth, UNAR, basically the Alpha 66, 2506 Brigade types. And they busted up the meeting. And the Sirhan got up and said, well, the Cuban boys were, you know, raising hell and breaking up the meeting, the SDS meeting. And Sirhan got up and says, what we need, what America needs is another Fidel Castro. You know, and gave up the communist clenched fist. He was in the company of a woman. And when Jose did this, I called a friend of mine who is the Sam Campbell, who is the publisher, or I should say editor of the Anaheim Bulletin, which is part of the Freedom Chain. He did this thing, front page, banner cap, and that drew the attention of Walter Winchell. Walter Winchell came out here, and he wouldn't fly. And during that period of time that he was taking the train, we were writing up the headlines, which went into the McNaught Syndicate all across the country. So the Random House, which is headed then by Bennett Cerf, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, gave the assignment to a couple of guys, a former member of the FBI. I think he went into 51 and ended in 61. He was thrown out. The assignment to hit Hilder. So they tried to say that I hypnotized Sirhan to kill Kennedy, and that's in the book, The Assassination of Robert Francis Kennedy. So is that what you wanted to hear?
So ultimately, you know, when you were when people were making history, you knew a lot of these people firsthand. Is that what you're saying here?
Well, you know, through Myron Fagan, Myron had introduced me to Mae West, and I went over on Rossmore, which goes into Vine and Hollywood, and I went in, and when I walked in, she says, Mr. Hilder, what are we going to do about this Illuminati? And I thought, you know, good Lord, you know, and she, this wasn't a put-on for Mae, that's the way she talked. It's like she says, you know, it's not sex education that bothers me, it's the homework. I'd asked for a statement and she gave it to me, and I spent some time with Mae down at the beach house, which is not far from where I'm at right at this moment. And he had started Clark Gable on his way, and he discovered that this was a Luciferian organization called the Illuminati, and they had gained control over this country through the Council on Foreign Relations. So you take a look at the presidents and the staffers, the cabinet. It's the neo-Kanazi cabal that controls this country are members of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Club of Rome. It's part of this evilarchy, and their intention is to rule the world and reduce the population of the world substantially. They think of blacks as useless eaters. They think of the military men as simply dumb, stupid animals.
So,
and George Bush thinks of the Constitution as just another goddamn piece of paper.
Okay, so you're trying to put out a message, and I'd like to know, you know, you're rubbing shoulders with all these people at this point in time. How did you, and I mean, everybody else seems to be susceptible to how this Illuminati group or whatever can win you over.
At the age of 12, I was with my uncle, who was a Mason, in San Francisco, and like other kids at 12 or 13 or whatever I was reading a comic book across the room, and they were playing some Pinochle or cribbage or whatever it was, and I was maybe 12 feet away, and I was behind the comic book, so they weren't really paying attention to me, and they figured, well, the kid doesn't know anything anyhow, right? But I had followed the events that went down during the war, and I would read the papers and listen to the news, and they were talking about all of the trouble that they had to go through to cover up the event at Pearl Harbor. I was a fan of Roosevelt. I didn't know that this crippled demagogue had done this to the country, that had set this thing up, the war that resulted in the death of 50 million people. What a monster this man was. I would like to see, during my lifetime, a trial that would be held and to convict this man for deeds that he did when he was living and have his body taken from the ground and ground up and flushed into the sewage system of Washington, D.C., where it should be.
Yeah, but he didn't do this alone. This had to be...
I didn't say he did it alone.
Right.
You take a look at his Secretary of War, Stimson. He was in the Skull and Bones. He was the Secretary of War during World War One. He's the guy that suggested to Truman, old Whorehouse Harry, and he did operate a whorehouse in Kansas City. That was the haberdashery was a front for that. But he was the guy that helped Harry make the decision to drop the bomb, the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki after the war was over. And essentially over, because they were willing to have a conditional surrender, which would leave Hirohito remain as emperor. And I talked to General Wiley Gainey in a private conversation, who told me that there was three overtures from Japan for surrender coming through the Soviets, and they were on their desk, or General LeMay's desk, in Guam. They dropped the bomb and mass murdered 250,000 people. They have no reservations in killing, you know, 250,000 or 5 million or 2 million American soldiers, or 500,000,000 or 5 billion people. These are the people who create diseases. These are the people who, you know, drop fluoride in our water. These are the people who promote homosexuality, because it's going to reduce the population in size. You know, because gays don't breed, they recruit.
So what you're saying again is they covered up World War II and what took place with World War II. There was cover-ups with JFK. There was cover-ups with RFK. There was cover-ups with Oklahoma City and World Trade
Center. And this 9-1-1, of course, is their biggest mistake, because, you know, there's nobody listening to the show who's going to believe that Muhammad Atta is on a plane and he is flying into the World Trade Center and hits that building. He goes through the steel, he goes through the concrete, he's in a ball of flame that is supposed to have melted steel. He goes through the interior steel support. The building was held together from the interior, not the exterior. It goes through the walls, it goes through the toilets, it goes through the electric, it goes through the halls and the elevator shafts, and then out the other side through the doors and through the wind, you know, and then out through the steel and concrete again. Well, Muhammad Atta didn't, but his passport was supposed to have gone through, out the other side, down to the ground, and the FBI is walking over on molten steel the next day and says, "Look, what's this? Oh my God. It's a passport. Oh, look, it's Muhammad Atta." Now we know who did this dastardly deed upon the World Trade Center. I mean, for us to believe that, we'd have to believe that that thing was made out of kryptonite. Talk about stupid. Talk about dumb. You just can't fix stupid.
Well, you know, when you were interviewing Jack McLam, one of the statements he was making it was that there was, they had volumes and vast amount of evidence on 9/11.
Oh, there's no question, and Jack is getting that information out to former military and former police officers, and he's doing a bang-up job.
You said that you would like to see Truman tried. Would you like to see Bush tried? I'd like to see somebody appoint his own individual prosecutor to the Bush administration.
Well, of course I'd like to see Bush tried for treason and Harry Truman. posthumous, you know.
And
Roosevelt, we're talking about people who have created wars, who are responsible for mass murder. There's more people who died on 9/11 in New York and Washington than died at Pearl Harbor.
Really?
Well, there's about 2,900 and something died in, you know, at Pearl Harbor. And they knew the Purple Code was broken. The Purple Code was the Japanese code. It was broken in advance. Admiral Kimmel and General Short were kept out of the mix. They weren't given the information. A friend of mine had been an operator of a radio unit over there, and he had told me that they knew that somebody was coming. And it never got to General Short or Admiral Kimmel. They didn't want it to get there. They don't want the information out.
So the
they want to keep the people dumb and accept pathetic, to coin a word.
So the system, being in its compartmentalization, can protect or prevent the information getting out that they, you know, so that they're aware of what's going on around them.
Well, look, girls, you're mm-hmm. breaking that right there. You're on a little 100-watt station, but you're right next to the military facility in Colorado Springs. Some of the guys, maybe there's a half a dozen of those guys that are listening to this show. Maybe they'll go out and get a copy of it because it's archived. Maybe they'll get one of our films, where we talk about Henry Kissinger's statements and Bush's statements, and we talk about the depleted uranium. That stuff that they fire out of the their cannons leaves a residue, which is inhaled by the people who are shooting it.
Yep.
It has a shelf life of about a half a billion years.
And
what it does, it screws up the DNA, so you see the birth of the children that they bear coming out like thalidomide babies, some with like one eye in the center of their head or a little teeny arm and then a long distorted arm. It looks like something out of a monster movie. And if you've got children, your children can be having children, if they're married to somebody in the military, that look like this. These are Bush babies. These are human monsters being born. And it's a result of what is being of the ordinance that is being shot. You know, you take a look at somebody like Mel Gibson. He said, "Well, he's anti-Semitic because he was talking about the Jews," but he was over there watching news as Israel was using depleted uranium, firing it off into Lebanon, killing men and women, children. Or innocent, had nothing to do with a confrontation with Israel. And when he gets, and then he goes down to the Moon Shadows, which is over here on the Pacific Coast Highway. He gets drunk, and he starts mouthing off. Wrongly, but nonetheless, an individual will react if he feels that his people, he's a Christian and a Catholic, that his people are being gored, or is, you know, if you have a grandchild or a child that is being sent over to die, it's like with the Tillman family. You've got a football hero, Pat Tillman, who is pounding his chest. He says, "Listen, it's more important that I go over there and serve my country, that I serve Uncle Sam, that I fight and do something for my country that's given me this freedom, than to play football. So I'm going to give up my career, at least temporarily, and go over and do this." And he winds up shot 3 times in the head because he was going to come out with the Abu Ghraib story. He was going to come out and expose what was going down, I believe, about the drug trafficking in Afghanistan.
Why do you think that?
But he didn't have an opportunity because he was taken out by a contractor, I believe. A contractor, and 9 officers lied about that and said that Pat was a hero. He wasn't a hero. He was murdered by agents. The shells that hit him in his head and killed him were paid for by U.S. taxpayers.
What makes you think that he was fixing to do that? Did he give information to somebody?
Well,
that...
I know with absolute certainty that he was about to come forth and give out information, and it was going to go public. He was going to go public with it. They couldn't allow that. He was the poster boy for the Army. You can't allow that. So somebody made a decision to take him out, in my opinion.
So,
in fact, we discussed that in the film, Skull and Bones, The Catholic Connection. And I'm going to give my 800 number out, so if there's one of you out there who'd like to, you know, get this information, you can call and order that film, and I'll give that to you in a couple minutes here. But you had a question.
Well, it slipped my mind for the moment, so that's okay. But as far as where the hardest part for people to believe, and until you read their own writing, and this is, you know, and understand the whole machinations that they've been putting this sort of thing together. I mean, it's been, you know, it's over a century old, some of these writings that putting forth their New World Order.
Well, you know, Christianity has been around in excess of 2,000 years. And if you go back and take a look at their religion, they've got a Luciferian doctrine that they adhere to. When you have somebody like this guy who built the or who designed the pentagram, the Pentagon, John Whitesides Parsons, in the OGO over here in Pasadena.
I mean, a lot of those
with Aleister Crowley and L. Ron Hubbard. Something's going on.
But doesn't this go back to even more ancient history? Back a lot of these symbologies and things that they seem to be adhering to.
Well, let's take a look at one of the most famous icons in the United States, the Washington Monument. The Washington Monument is a 555-foot high penis. That's what it is.
Well,
That's what it represents.
We still need to use other language on here.
Well, I don't know how to use any other. That's
phallic
what it
symbol,
is.
Maybe.
Maybe phallic symbol.
Okay. It's a phallic symbol. It's a phallic symbol. But because people don't see the rest of the male genitalia, they don't think of it like that. But, you know, you take a look at that 555-foot structure, and I've been at the top of it with the, you know, the blinking eye or the eye of Horus, the eye of Lucifer. You figure, well, they didn't just put that on top of the ground. They have, it's 20% of it is below the ground. 20% of the 555 is 111. You add the 111 and the 555 and it's 666.
Hmm.
You take a look at the configuration of the streets in Washington, D.C. You'll see the pentagram arise once again. You take a look at the statue of General Pike out in the park there. Here's the guy, co-founder of the Klan. He's the guy who said, yes, Lucifer is God. Just take a look at these scumballs. I mean, take a look at the Henry Kissingers.
So their ultimate aim is to what? I mean, you know, if...
To rule the world.
Okay.
They're not content to own the world. They want to, I mean, not just to rule the world, but they want to own the world and they want to own everybody in it.
Okay, so if they're taking the country down, what is their aim to do with it as far as, I mean, are we included in this, or are they even included in it? Because it sounds to me like they're just as brainwashed as the rest of us.
See, they believe in this world government. I've written a manifesto which calls for a free world alliance, which would be the recognition of the tribal, linguistic, racial, religious, and political nation states. I say, ask not what you can do for your government, but rather ask what your government can do for you, because your government is your servant, and we the people must be the master. When somebody joins the military or joins, you know, public service thinking that they're going to do something for the government, they've got this thing back assward. They should be doing something not for the government, but the government is your government. The government is your servant, and we, the people, should be the masters. That's how it should be. That's how it must be.
And how do we take back being the master?
By no longer accepting slavery, because slavery is something that just doesn't happen. Slavery can only exist with the consent of the enslaved. You have to accept the unacceptable. You have to tolerate the intolerable. You have to believe the unbelievable. You have to be blind. You have to be deaf. You have to be dumb. You have to be the dumbest. You have to be the sheeple. You have to be willing to be led to the slaughter yards. And like the gladiators, when they looked up at Caesar in the Colosseum in Rome, who looked up and with their salute out, they said, "We who are about to die salute you." That's where we are.
There are so many parallels between the fall of Rome and what is happening right now, not only with our government, but with how they treated their military troops and their actual people.
They're expendable. They were expendable
correct.
There, and they are expendable here. And if you're part of this military group, you don't want to be expendable. You know, if you've got a child, think of what the hell, they're talking about literally creating hell on earth. And it is so important that one listens to shows like yours. Both of you are putting all of these pieces together. You've got it together. You're in a little town out there in Colorado, and you've got it together.
Yeah,
others are getting it together. People at the rap level are getting it together. People from the Wu-Tang Clan. There's groups that I've talked to, and they're using some of our stuff. It goes from, you know, Ice-T to Africa Mbata, to Africa Islam, to many people in the industry that I've talked to. I'm sitting across from Ed Asner. I was talking about that on the show earlier today. And here he's got it on his desk. He's got this 12-inch cookie jar. It's all white with the exception of Mao's little red book. Oh, the cookie jar is of Mao.
Mao's,
all white.
Mao
it's sort of cute. And I'm taking a look at his knife collection, and I never thought I would be sitting down with Ed, but, you know, he's just like a friend. Because he's telling the truth. And it doesn't matter what side political spectrum you think that you're on, we have a one-party system. And there's the good and the bad. And we have a legitimate left and a legitimate right working together. Most of the people on the legitimate left don't want to destroy the Constitution. That's been an illusion that people had 40 years ago, that was the case. That's not the case. They want their rights and their freedoms just like we want our rights and our freedoms. So we must have this alliance of the free world.
So your answer for what's going on is what?
You mean the solution?
Right.
Well, the answer to the problem is education, but it's not just education. It has to be, you have to be inspirational. There's a couple of guys who went out and did a thing called Loose Change. They started putting the pieces together from some of the things that I'd had. And another young guy was coming along several years ago. His name is Alex Jones. A lot of people have followed. We must be inspirational. We must develop the capacity to look out at the horizon and see beyond it and learn to touch beyond our fingertips and to hear beyond the limitation of our ears and to speak in all men's languages and still speak our own. If an individual is a racist, I can deal with racism. you know, I can deal with a lot of things, but I can't deal with the stupidity. I mean, I can't tolerate much of it because the sheeple are being led to the slaughter. And the political pimps and prostitutes along the Potomac are guiding them in that direction.
You know, they do constant polling throughout this. I mean, I've never seen a campaign that took 2 years like this last one has taken.
I think this phone is going out. Would you call me back on the other one that you first called on?
Okay, well, I'll try it again here. I'm not the best.
I know. That happens. It's called live radio, folks. So hang in there with us, and the girls will talk, and I shall return. Like MacArthur said, I shall return.
Okay. Try it again here.
I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me.
Well, I would like to hear from Anthony's just some of his thoughts in regard to a revolution to avoid a revolution.
No, it's a revelation.
Revelation, okay.
A revelation is not a revolution. A revelation
is
an awakening. We cannot avoid the revolution, which is it's an evilistic, to coin a new word, revolution that will occur unless we have an awakening. The awakening has to come from you and you. And you out there at the base. If you're listening to this show, get a copy of the show. And you say, well, this guy, you know, he's talking about Uncle Sam being Satan. Can I prove it? Yes. When you take a look at the horns that go up and they flange out, it's like in the same configuration as the hat. that Uncle Sam is wearing. And if you take a look at the five-pointed star on the hat, on the goat of Baphomet, they simply put the lines in, and it becomes the pentagram. And if you match the face, it's Satan. There's no question about it. And if you check and find out what Kissinger really did say, he said that the military are dumb, stupid animals. And if you check and find out what Bush said, the Constitution's just another goddamn piece of paper. And if you check again, you'll find out that a 155-foot wingspan of a 757 cannot disappear in a 14-foot hole. Lose the engines. They did find one rotor. It was 3 feet. Maybe that was just these two giant engines shrunk into one little 3-foot rotor.
And Building 7 just fell down all by itself.
Oh, yes. See, people just accept the unacceptable. So the revelation has to come. I'm going to give a number out here. It's an 800 number. 597-9250. That's 1-800. This is where you call toll free, 597-9250. And I put The Greatest Lie Ever Sold, which is now in 23 countries and 7 languages, in with another piece. It's done by Eric Huffschmidt, and it's about the technical aspects of this. If you're from an engineering point of view, it couldn't possibly have gone down. You could throw Jet A fuel on a floor of steel for the next 1,000 years, and it's not going to bend it. It just doesn't happen that way. It defies the laws of physics. The first piece that we put out, Illuminati 911, we simply got killed and advertisers wouldn't take it. But we started on 9/11 and finished around Halloween. Then we've got another thing, which is called China's Answer to Cancer, the thing I did with Dr. Bruce Halstead, west of the Yellow River in North Korea, in Manchuria, the Chongbao Mountains. There's so many things that we are told that aren't so. We're told that we must rely upon the modalities of burn, cut, and slash. We're told that the Federal Reserve is part of the United States government. It's neither federal nor reserve. They create that funny money. So we put out a tape called Thieves in the Temple with a black gentleman who's absolutely phenomenal. He talks about this atrocity that's occurred to all people. And we've got our new release, Skull and Bones, The Catholic Connection. And it talks about Buckley, who said that, you know, he was a Christian and a conservative and a Catholic. Of course, he said if he had to do it all over again, he'd be a communist. He's the fellow that helped arrange for the sellout of the American Canal in Panama.
But do you know?
And, you know, it's these atrocities are occurring on a daily basis. You don't have to figure out what they're going to do tomorrow. You know it's going to be bad, and it's going to get worse. And the chances we have of surviving are going to be worse unless you get on the stick now, unless you get involved. Unless you have... I would love to come out to Colorado Springs and speak. I did once before. It's a beautiful spot over there to speak. It's like a dome. It's and then there's a round... It's like a theater in the round.
Oh, yes, over on Pikes Peak.
It's wonderful. Just a wonderful place for a venue. But I'd love to go over there and talk and come over with Gary Richard Arnold or somebody like that.
Well, we'd love to have you.
It's something that I feel that we owe to the people who've been lulled to sleep or brought in thinking that they're going to do something for their country, like Pat Tillman.
I mean, you've been doing this a long time. How have you kept up the ability to face the adversity and comments that it draws when you're breaking people's belief systems in their government or in their, you know, I mean, in order to understand any of this, you lose your belief in everything.
People become locked in concrete craniums. If their mind is like stone, and it's set from years and years of disinformation and misinformation. We have to break that. We have to break the concrete geraniums and allow people to think. It doesn't matter what direction they want to take it. They must have the freedom to do so. People must have the right to integrate, to segregate, to separate, to do their own thing in their own time, in their own way. You know, in the past, I've been with women of color, women from Japan. My mother was rather horrified, you know, when I walked in with a wife that is neither black nor white, but mixed. Or I had a girl at the junior college. She was horrified that I was with a Japanese girl, and that was not too far after the end of the war. They said, well, you know, oh my God, you know, he's with a Japanese girl. And that's when, you know, prejudice was more intense and more directionalized at that time, because, you know, after the war it was killed a dirty yellow belly Jap. But people are all people. And we're all, you know, most of us are genuine and would like to have a happy life. They don't want to be sucked in and sucked down. Right now, there's an undertow. It's like out here in the Pacific Ocean. You go out there at the wrong time, and you don't know how to swim. You're going to try to fight that rather than go along with the current. They try to fight the current, and they drown. And it's time for us to take a stand. It's time for us to do that which has never been done, and take back what once was the greatest country the world has ever known. We have that opportunity, and Katie and Melanie here are doing a show. They're doing it because they love this thing called freedom. They love what this country once was, and I'm assuming that you despise what this country has become.
Yeah. Very disappointed, because they had the chance to be great. We had an opportunity for greatness, and it has now been impeded by a few greedy humans who literally see the rest of the humans as excess baggage.
Well, they're making, you know, with the Frankenfoods and Frankenpharmaceuticals, I would like to see a farm, FARM, pharmaceuticals, natural cures, and logical conclusions. When Bush comes out and said, well, we're going to investigate the 911, and of all of the people in the United States of America, who does he pick? America's number one traitor. Liar. Henry Kissinger. I took on Henry Kissinger at a news conference out here in La Habra one time, and my friend and I did this as well, and he said that he was late for the news conference because of the traffic. Well, I had gone after him. When we got into the parking lot, his limousine was out there. He's lying. There seems to be a legacy of lies around this administration, the Bush administration, and McSame. You know, I look at him as like he stepped, like a monster movie. He stepped out of some crypt somewhere, and that big swollen thing on his jaw, it looks like some alien is going to pop out. Somebody's been ingested some seed from another planet.
Well, you know, something that's also...
It's scary.
Something also significant that I don't think gets drawn upon often enough is like 9/11. The date and has so many different ramifications or events that have taken place on that, like Chili's, the coup in Chile, and when George George Herbert Walker had done his 9/11 New World Order speech was done on 9/11.
Well, that was on September 11th, 1991.
Right.
And you start putting all of these pieces together. This, all of the very jagged, crooked, complicated pieces of this gigantic geopsychopolitical jigsaw puzzle, it gives you the big picture. Once people have the big picture, then they don't really have to know all of the events that created it. It's like taking a look at the box when you're a kid and you're putting together this jigsaw puzzle. Your grandma or your mother or your uncle or your dad helped you put the pieces together, and you put the end of the box. But when they showed you the box, here's what it looks like, and then they take it away, and they say, "Now, go for it. Try to put it together so you can envision in your mind what it is." And once you get that vision, everything else that happens has a place. It's not just thrown to the side or stacked up, but you can see it. And once you know that their objective is to reduce the population of the planet, you'll most likely conclude that you are one of those who are in this arena, like the Roman Colosseum, and you have to then make a decision. Are you going to look up at Caesar, extend your hand and say, "Caesar, we who are about to die salute you"? Or are you going to say, "We who are here defy you, and we will bring back our country"?
You know,
we will bring about our freedom and sovereignty for the people of the world. It's our responsibility. We have that responsibility when we become knowledgeable. And both of you ladies are digging in and doing your homework. You've got this big picture. I couldn't talk to you, girl. You girls, you know, 40 years ago, there wasn't conversation like this that was even allowed on radio. It was never discussed. From the Illuminati records, there's a billion people on Earth that now know about this. Transferred from one to another, an exponential rise in awareness.
We are in a unique time in history because we didn't have the internet, and the internet has really opened up a lot of avenues for information.
Now, you can take information that you get here. You can take bits and clips of any of my pieces, and you can put them on YouTube. We've got lots of footage. I've got lots of footage which probably will never go anywhere because we only use about 10% of what we shoot. And if you'd like to put it up on YouTube or you'd like to put it up, we formed a thing called the American Chronicles. And my intention was to put a new piece up, an 8-minute piece, 9-minute piece every day, day after day after day, to chronicle what is happening to this country. So if you have a website, if you have a blog, if you're involved in this thing called the net and understand it, you're able to take some of this information and put it on your email list, and you might have an email list of 1,100, and you encourage those who get it to send it out to theirs. We can literally reach the world. We've got a car that'll go 458 miles per gallon. We've got another car that we're in the development of that will run entirely on hydrogen. We are being conned. We're being told that we're dependent upon this thing called oil, or it's black gold. We're not dependent upon it. We just have accepted what they have said as the gospel. When they drill down 4.5 miles, and they run into oil, what do you think went on down there? Do you think those were the giant 100-ton mosasauruses? which are made 85, which had 85 barrels of oil in their body, and they died, and they all collected in one area. And we're suddenly drilling into this. I mean, I can believe in Santa Claus. I can believe in the Tooth Fairy. I can believe in the Easter Bunny. Because I had proof that they were around. I got the 50-cent piece underneath my pillow. I got the Daisy Ridder BB gun underneath the Christmas tree. And I found the Easter egg underneath the bush. But I can't believe this dinosaur story and the crap that these monsters are putting forth and expecting us to buy without question.
Well,
you need to question.
Yes,
you need to incite a revelation to stop a revolution.
And you know, Anthony, I really want to thank you for coming on our program tonight and stepping forth and speaking your truth and doing it in, you know, in a fashion that, you know, a lot of people would never attempt to do, and hopefully you continue doing your documentaries. And is there a website to contact you?
Well, if freeworldfilmworks.com,
okay.
freeworldfilmworks.com, and it's my dream to have a free world, an alliance of those who think independent and who seek freedom. The number, of course, you can call us at the 800 number, 597-9250, for, you know, product. And I would love to have you ladies on film, and I mean that, from this little station out in Podunk. I'd love to be out there in Colorado Springs. Maybe we could put on an event there or in the neighborhood or down in Denver. I've been down there. I was on a radio show doing a broadcast from there at one time. Is it Johnstown or something like that?
Well, I'm not sure which town you're talking about there, but we do need to go ahead and sign off for the evening, and we'll certainly have to discuss this with you further.
God bless, Godspeed, and it's time for us to incite the revelation.
Okay. And
do what you have to do where you are with what you've got.
Okay. Thank you.
Good night, ladies.
Thank you. And thank you, Katie.
All.
Good night.